Blog Talk Radio.
Well, there was supposed to be a song to start the broadcast. I'll have to go through and see where the technical difficulty is with that. In the meanwhile, I believe everything happens for a reason. God's timing is perfect, so I'm going to entrust God and the song not stopping at the beginning. And good evening, everyone. This is your host, Evangelist Montel Fields. Welcome to Reaching Out Radio. Tonight, I'm so excited to be welcoming a beautiful woman in Christ. Her ministry absolutely blesses my heart when I read all that she does and how she has a true servant's heart, and she's worked with people in Hong Kong and the USA and started a nonprofit tax-exempt organization. The list is endless, and I want to welcome her to the show tonight. Her name is Pearl Corbin, and welcome to the broadcast tonight. Pearl, for some reason, the song did not start off at the beginning, but I will go back through and we'll play that. I believe it's God's timing, so I believe there's a reason for everything. But I welcome you tonight. And Sister Mary,
thank you so much
for being so faithful and gracious, listening in to all the broadcasts. I love you, Sister, and I know you're going to be blessed as well on the broadcast tonight.
Thank you so much, Sister Montel. It's my privilege to be with you tonight and your listeners.
Thank you. If you want to go ahead, sis, and lead us off in prayer, and then as I tell everyone, just let go and let God. This is your time to glorify Him and what He's doing in your life and to share whatever God's put upon your heart to share.
Amen. Well, I actually would like you to open up, and then I'm going to go ahead and go straight for it.
Okay. I'd be more than glad to.
Thank you.
Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you so much, dear God, for this opportunity to share, dear God. For life of another day, Father. Father God, we need to be thanking you daily for all the blessings in our life, dear God. And Father, we just lift this broadcast up to you tonight. Have your perfect will, dear God. We ask, dear God, that you come into our midst. We're inviting you in, Father God. And we ask for the anointing to go forth, to guard the airways, dear God, just to let everything go smoothly, dear God. And we just, Father God, thank you for an opportunity to be a voice going into the nations, dear God. Thank you so much, dear God, for Pearl coming on tonight, dear God, to share, dear God. And she said you have a message, dear God. And I'm praying, dear God, that people will open their minds and their ears and put their focus upon you and receive that word tonight, Father. I give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. I ask these things in your Son's name and in your perfect will, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Montel, for giving me this wonderful privilege to address your listeners tonight. I've been praying about this time that I'm going to be allotted, and I really believe that God has a word for us. As Americans, and as most of all as Christians, as people that believe in God and know our full dependency upon Him, it's extremely important that we discern the times that we're living in. I was telling my brother just recently that, wow, I don't know if our mother and father, both of them are deceased, but had they been alive, I really wonder if they could even think that the things that are happening currently would happen. So his response to me is that, no, I doubt that they would even think that these certain things are coming to pass. And the Word of God tells us in 1 Chronicles, and if you have your Bibles, please feel free to go and take a look at that, and if not, just can jot it down. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, the Word of God tells us about some sons of Issachar. It says like this: there were men from Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. The word Issachar means that He will bring a reward. And I believe today that God wants us to be able to understand the times and know what to do in these times. One of the things that people often will hear from me personally, whether I'm preaching or whether I'm teaching, and as Evangelist Montel has said a little bit before, is that God has been extremely good to me. I'm very, very humbled because He's allowed me to minister in so many places, not only in this nation, and I am from America, I was born and raised in New York City, but then the Lord has opened up some opportunities for me and allowed me to live in a closed country. And whenever you hear me refer to the word closed, it basically means that that nation is closed to the gospel. In other words, they do not like people to freely preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord took me to one of these nations, and I had lived there for quite a while, and I was based in Hong Kong, which is a free nation, and I've been to so many of the other Southeast Asian nations around as well, including Malaysia, which is a Muslim nation. But one of the things that that the people will often hear coming from my mouth is that as believers, we need to be intentional. We need to be men that are intentional. We need to be women that are intentional. And what does intentionality really mean? It talks about that I don't just react to something, or I don't just allow the circumstances of the day to sweep me away and to dictate how I respond. But as a child of God, somebody that has been saved, somebody that has been blood-washed, somebody that has had their sins forgiven, someone who has the Spirit of God dwelling within me, I need to be very cognizant. I need to realize, I need to understand that God has a plan and that God has a future. We read this in Jeremiah 29, that God has a plan for us, and it's a plan for good and not for evil. But these men of Issachar, what is so very wonderful and particular about them, they were not just like every other Israeli man or every other Jewish man. They were able to be in their time and perceive and understand what the Spirit of God was saying to them at that time. And I would challenge you by the Spirit of God that you and I, we need to take a lesson from the sons of Issachar. We need to also understand the times that we're living in. It's no longer business as usual, and it should not be business as usual in these United States, or for the rest of the world for that matter. Circumstances have shifted in our world. It can no longer just be about us and what affects us personally. It has to be that as believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have a bigger picture. There's a lot of change. We heard that word a lot, even in the election of our recent president, the word change. And certainly many things in our nation, many things in our land, many things around the globe have changed. And they continue to change every day. So in times such as these, it is vital that the believing child of God not merely try to cope with whatever is happening around him or around her, but rather that we know that God is with us. That is so important that it really deserves for me to say it again. God is with us. So no matter what is going on in our lives personally, in our communities, collectively, in our nation as a people, we have to remember, for those that have placed their trust and confidence in God, that he is with us. He is not about leaving us. The Word of God says it like this, and I want to quote it from you. The prophet Isaiah, in chapter 54 and verse 10, he said, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion upon you." So just even by reading this one verse that the prophet Isaiah has given us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, no matter what is happening around us, and literally in our nation, I'm speaking as an American right now. I'm not speaking as someone who is traveling globally, but I'm talking like the person that is living in the United States. And perhaps if you're listening to this broadcast and you're not from the United States, you can also identify with what I'm about to say. Even geographically, even in nature, we see that things are changing. I remember it was about 3 years ago. I was sitting in a place in my home where I live, sitting in that couch. And I remember I was in a time of devotion. I had my Bible open, and I began to read. I began to read in the book of Jeremiah. And God just let something jump out to me and to my spirit from what I was reading. I knew from that moment that what I was reading was not just for me in my devotion with the Lord, but it was something that I should share with some very close praying friends of mine. So I immediately got on the phone. I called two of my spiritual sisters up, and I shared it with them. And what it was a verse from Jeremiah, and it was talking about how the animals were going to start coming out of the forest, and they were going to come into the cities. And this is unusual because we don't usually have animals coming out of our forest and coming into our cities. I know for me, as somebody that's been born and raised in New York City, it is not commonplace to have coyotes in our cities. It's just unheard of. And yet 3 years ago, when the Lord had made this so real to me, even just reading it, I was saying, okay, well, that's going to be different. I don't even think I've ever heard of a coyote coming out into the city. But I'm going to tell you something. This last month, we heard on our local radio station that a coyote was in a very crowd, human-filled area called Yonkers, right outside of New York City, in a residential area, not in a zoo, not in a park, in an apartment dwelling, a coyote. Then we've heard of coyote sightings in different boroughs of New York City. We have 5 boroughs. We have the Bronx, we have Brooklyn, Manhattan, which is very famous, Staten Island, and Queens. We've heard of coyotes coming. We've heard of squirrels. I've always seen squirrels coming. We have squirrels in my community. That's commonplace. But now we're hearing about squirrels biting people, squirrels being on the offensive, squirrels taking a very different kind of an attitude. And so more and more we see that nature is changing. I know that some people in California, they were telling about situations where they found a lot of dead fish just right there by the shore. And this is unusual. This is not commonplace. And then around the world, there have been all kinds of sightings of different animals just coming out. So God is showing us that nature is changing because, I believe, it's because of what is happening. It's because of a rebellion against the Holy God. Yet for the believer, the Word of God tells us very clearly, though you see the mountains be shaken, the hills be removed. We've heard of tsunamis. We've heard of earthquakes in diverse places. He says, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. So he's speaking to me. My name is Pearl. He's speaking to Evangelist Montel, or whatever your name is. You can put your name in that place. My unfailing love, says God, will not be shaken, and my covenant of peace will not be removed. And God, great God, the creator of heaven and earth, he said he has compassion on you. He has compassion on me. And who exactly does he have compassion on? That individual that places full undivided trust in Jesus Christ. This is the Heavenly Father's assurance to every blood-washed believing child of God, no matter what's happening around us or even to us personally. No matter what God has allowed to take place in your life. And you might wonder, you know, where is God? He's very much there. He has not left you. He will not forsake you. The Father's love for us remains secure, unshakable, unchanging, and strong. If I did not have a personal understanding of this, I can tell you, without going into some deep details, because of living in a communist nation for many years and serving there in a place where I was not always welcome, but I knew that God had taken me there, I had to believe that my Heavenly Father's love for me remained secure, unshakable, unchanging, and strong. To the discerning eye, if you remember what happened a few years back, Hurricane Sandy, which happened even here in New York. You don't hear about hurricanes in New York City. That's unheard of. And yet even our environment is changing. We hear of hurricanes in Florida and hurricanes in the southern parts of the nation, but we had Hurricane Sandy and was even experienced in the winter. It was a sign to the believers in this city. There was chaos. There was darkness all around. I can tell you, I was here at that time. In the areas which were most affected, we'd heard of devastation, destruction, even drowning and fire, flooding. And all of a sudden, the big New York City was under lockdown. Under lockdown. Mass transit, the famous subway system, came to a sudden halt, immediate halt. Most of the city's tunnels, you've heard of Lincoln Tunnel and Holland Tunnel, they were closed. The bridges were off limits for a short time. Wall Street, which is the money capital of the entire world, the money capital, Wall Street, was suspended. Schools were closed. And ultimately, the world-renowned New York City Marathon was canceled. I tell you, when God tries to get our attention, he will get our attention. He will get our attention. I certainly didn't cry when I heard about all the Halloween parties and the hideous adult costume balls that were also put on shutdown and were not allowed to take place, because I have to be honest, I have to confess to you, I was kind of glad that they were shut down, because at a time like that, I was praying that instead of people thinking about goblins and ghosts, that we as a nation would humble ourselves and cry out to God, because at the end of the day, he's the only one who's going to help us. The great New York City, Long Island, and New Jersey, they all experienced a suddenly of God. And I'd like to say to the listening audience tonight, I believe that my beloved America, we're about to experience another suddenly of God. I sincerely believe that a merciful God is seeking to get our attention. He certainly got the attention of the sons of Issachar. He's trying to get the attention in our day of the church, his bride. And he says it like this. In the book of Hosea, this is an Old Testament book from an Old Testament prophet. He's not one of the major prophets, but he had a powerful word in his day. And here it goes from Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Therefore, I am now going to allure you. I want to lead you into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards, and I'll make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. Now let the contemporary spiritual sons and daughters of Issachar, that's you, that's me, child of God, if you're listening to this broadcast tonight, or whenever you listen to this, we should be the contemporary spiritual sons and daughters of Issachar, and we should arise in this hour to discern the times and know what would the Lord of the harvest, what would God, creator of the heaven and earth, what would our Savior, what would our Master have us to do in this season? We have already heard the word from Hosea. This was a man that God told him to go out and actually marry a prostitute. I mean, who could think that? But, you know, when God wants to get the attention of his people, he will do whatever is necessary to get the attention of his people. And he's speaking to the man of God and speaking through the man of God, and he's saying, I'm going to allure her. I'm going to lead her into the wilderness, and I'm going to speak tenderly to her. Sometimes, child of God, man of God, woman of God, God has to take us out into a wilderness experience because we've been preoccupied. We've been doing our own thing. We've been going our own way. And sometimes, not that we always willfully do it, but I think if you're like me, we can easily slip into just, you know, doing our own thing, being wrapped up in our own agenda, going our own way, feeling pretty, you know, content with ourselves, and God will have to allow us to go into a wilderness where we're in a position that he can get our attention. Right now, as a nation, I know he's not getting everybody's attention, but I'm praying and I hope and I believe that he is getting the attention of those people that love and seek hard after him. Sometimes a good, loving Heavenly Father will take us into the wilderness so that he can speak tenderly to us. And he says, what is he saying? I'm going to give you back your vineyards. I'm going to give it back to you. And you're not just going to call me your husband. Or you will call me, I'm sorry, you will call me your husband, not just your master. There's a difference between master and husband. And while the Lord certainly and will always be our master, he most definitely...
Sis, would you like me to play your song right now?
I think the phone it just came off. I was talking all this time, I'm not on. And I don't know how to shut it back on.
I can still hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Evangelist Montel.
Okay.
Are we still on?
Yes, you're still on. It didn't disconnect you. You're still on the air.
Okay. I'm sorry about that because I got
a
call from you
on
the other
phone.
That's all right. Those things happen. Okay. Anyway, so let me just get back because, you know, one thing I have to honestly say, the enemy would hate for me to get this word across because lives are going to be changed by the power of God. I hope that you believe that. Lives will be changed. We're in a very critical time right now as a nation. We're in a very critical time as a people. And so it is so important that we really just zone in, focus in, hone in, and understand what God is saying to his people in this time. His heart towards us is for good. But we have been, and I'm not saying everybody who's listening to me, but a lot of us have been hard-headed. A lot of us have been in backslidden positions, and even as a nation, we were a nation that really loved God. We were a nation that saw our need of God. And right now, we're in a position where we kind of like feel, as a nation, I'm not saying necessarily individual listeners, but as a nation, it's almost like we're too big for God. And, you know, we're kind of like doing our own thing. And so those of us that have our knees before God, our ears listening to God, then he is saying, watch the times that you're listening. Watch the times that you're living in. Hear how things are changing and know how you have to react in those times. We've got to maintain integrity. We've got to maintain our position. We've got to maintain our stance with God and see and know and discern how to respond. The reason why is that twofold. Number one, we want to be found faithful when God returns, and we really believe that his hand is just about at the door. And so we want to be found faithful. That's number one. Number two, a world that's not understanding who God is, they're going to look to you. They're going to look to me to direct the way to them. And so we have to be on par. We've got to be, as the Australians like to say, we've got to be spot on. We've got to know who our Redeemer is and be able to point the way to him very clearly and very succinctly in a way that people can understand and there's no confusion. I want to encourage you. no matter where you are spiritually, it's never too late. Here goes God's personal message to you through the Word of God. I want to share this with you. God says this, come back to me and really mean it. Come fasting and come praying. Have you ever heard about that? Fasting and praying. Fasting means that we actually put down our plates sometime. We pray and ask the Lord to lead us to a time when we might skip a meal. And we're not just skipping a meal because we want to lose some weight, but we're skipping a meal because we don't want to be doing business as usual, but we want to actually be able to have our spiritual understanding and hearing sharpened so that we can hear from God. So sometimes he says, just turn down your plate just for a moment, just for a little bit. Come before me with fasting. Come back to me. Come with fasting and weeping, sorry for your sins. Change your life, not just your clothes. Come back to God, your God. And here's why. God is kind and he's merciful. He takes a deep breath. He puts up with a lot. The most patient God is extravagant in love, always ready to cancel catastrophe. I want to repeat that again because I'm actually reading from the Word of God. He's always willing and ready to cancel catastrophe. Who knows? Maybe he'll do it now. Maybe he'll turn around and show pity. Maybe when all is said and done, there'll be blessing full and robust for us, because God's going to give it to us. And then the Word of God says, blow the ram's horn trumpet in Zion. Declare a day of repentance, a holy fast day. Call a public meeting. Get everyone there. Consecrate the congregation. I just want to stop here for a second. I will continue it, I promise. And if you're wondering where I'm reading from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 to verse 17 from the Message paraphrase. Okay, that's where I'm reading right now when I started out with come back to me and really mean it. But I want to stop here just for a second, and I'll come back. We just had a big tragedy in our nation. In South Carolina, you know, everybody knows about the 9 people that were in church in a Bible study, and they were killed. They were in a public meeting, even though it was just in their church, and it wasn't even a lot of them there, but they were in a Bible study. But now, I believe that what the enemy meant for evil, God is turning it around for some good. Because we see people that probably would not have been praying together, probably would not have been hugging each other, probably would not have been calling on God. They're calling on God. They're praying together. Turn on your radio stations. Listen to the television, the news. And you're going to see people that would not ordinarily have been together. Because a lot of times, like I said in the very beginning, you know, God has to get people's attention. Now, what am I saying? I'm not saying that he ordained that young man to go and to do evil. That's wickedness. That's not from God. But God can use the all things together to work for good. When there are people that truly love God, when there are people that truly call out to God and cry out to God, I believe if we're going to say that we're Christians and that we're followers of Jesus Christ, we need to have a time that we will consecrate ourselves together, as the Word of God says in Joel, consecrate the congregation, make sure the elders come, but bring in the children too. Don't leave them out. The Word of God says even the nursing babies, bring them in, even men and women on their honeymoon. Tell them to put an interruption on the honeymoon. Even men and women on their honeymoon, interrupt them. Get them there between the sanctuary entrance and the altar. Let the priest, God's servants, weep tears of repentance. Let them intercede. Have mercy, God, on your people. Don't abandon your heritage to contempt. Don't let the pagans take over and rule them and sneer. And so where is their God? Where is this God of theirs? Again, I just read from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through verse 17. I'm hearing, as I read the Word of God and as I read it to you on the broadcast, I'm hearing God say, number one, return. Return to me with your whole heart. Desire to love God with that first love, that first bridal love that you and I knew when we first came to the Lord. In returning to the Lord, we as his body, we repent of going after another, you know, something else, and anything and anyone and everything that is contrary to God's way and his will for our lives. Anything or anybody that would be more important to us than our love relationship with God, then we need to repent from that. I was telling some people recently, I have neighbors. They're more concerned with washing their cars and making sure that there's not a smudge on their car than they are to open up the Word of God and to see what God will be saying to them for their lives. So this is idolatry, my friends, whether it's in my life, whether it's in the life of my neighbor, whether it's in your life. The main person that we need to have our allegiance and our love to is Jesus Christ. And our God is not going to accept anything else but that. If we want, we often say in America, God bless America. Well, if we want the blessings of God, we're going to have to do it God's way. I've been teaching a teaching that I was asked to do in the church where I attend. And I've been asked to teach on worship. This is the second time that I've been asked to do that. And within that teaching, part of that teaching on worship, we talk about the Moses, the tabernacle of Moses. And one of the key things that we learn through studying the tabernacle of Moses is that when it comes to God, we've got to do it God's way. We don't worship God our way. I know we like to say, well, you know, God knows my heart and he understands me. And, you know, God knows that I worship God in my way. I might not worship God in your way, but I worship God in my way. Well, you know, I understand that. I fully understand that. But here goes what I learned by studying the tabernacle of Moses. Very clear. When we come to God, it's not about my way of worshiping God or my way of serving God. It's about what is acceptable to God. What will he allow? Because some things he allows and some things he disallows. So I have to be in the Word to understand, okay, God, is what I'm doing pleasing to you? It's not about what's pleasing to me, but it's what about, I want to know what is touching God's heart, what is pleasing and acceptable to him. So the first thing I get from that reading in Joel is that as a woman of God, as a child of God, God wants me to return to him with my whole heart. That's number one. Number two, pray, 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 and pray some more. We read in 1 Thessalonians, which is in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians tells us that we need to pray without ceasing. So that means I need to be praying 24/7. And you might say, well, what do you mean praying 24/7? That's not even practical. That's not even realistic. Well, you know what? We need to develop an attitude of prayer. So we get to the place, and it is possible that even in our sleeping hours, even when we're fully asleep, our spirit is already communing with God. In our waking hours, we can be preparing breakfast if we are mothers, and or even if we're not mothers, but we have to prepare breakfast for our families. You know, we can be preparing the breakfast. We can getting the table together. We can be helping our children to get their clothes together. But we're in a prayerful attitude. It's talking about an attitude of prayer, to be in a place that is not strange for us to be able to drop to our knees and to pray. And so that means that I cannot watch everything that's on television. Because if I watch everything that's on television, that clearly means that my spirit is not going to be in a position that I can receive from God. I'll give you an example. If I'm watching, and I'm not going to name the shows, but if I'm watching a show that is filled with illicit sexual activity, how am I going to be in the next 5 minutes able, I get a phone call, it's a friend, their child has gotten into a car accident, God forbid, but that's the phone call, and then they're asking me to pray. Well, how am I going to jump from watching that show, after I filled my guts, my spiritual guts, excuse the expression, but I filled my spiritual guts with some illicit sexual activity that I saw on the television, and then the next minute, I think that I can immediately jump into an attitude of prayer, and that God is going to hear me. To be realistic, when we come to God, as I shared with you before, as I'm speaking to my own spirit, I have to come in a way that's acceptable to him. Yes, he always is saying, let the whosoever will come. But now that I'm a believer, now that I've already come to Jesus Christ, now that I say that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, there's a certain way that I have to approach God. I'm not coming like I did when I didn't know God. But now I'm somebody that his spirit indwells me. And so I have to move and function in a certain way as somebody who is a carrier of his holy deposit, which is his Holy Spirit living inside of me. So, again, I cannot open up my spirit to every and anything that the world has to offer on the television, in a movie, and think that I'm going to be able to keep this that God's telling me through this word in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. For me to pray without ceasing, my spirit has to be in a certain position before a holy God. Daniel says it like this in Daniel 6 and verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed. He gave thanks to his God just as he had done before. This is Daniel, the great man of God. He saw his need to get before God. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Even when his life is being challenged, even when he's being told he's going to be thrown in a lion's den, he is still going to get down his knees. He's still going to trust his God because he believes that his God is able to deliver him. It's amazing. I said several times in this broadcast that I live in New York City, and you might live in a place where you don't have a lot of Islamic people living in your area, but in my area, more and more we have people from Arab countries, and more we have people that worship Allah, and they go with the Prophet Muhammad. And so one of the things that I've noticed is that if you have a cab driver that is Islamic, you might be driving in his cab, and he might tell you at the middle of the day, excuse me, I'm going to stop my cab right now. I'm going to take out my prayer cloth, and I'm going to face the east, and I'm going to pray. And that means you have to either wait until he's finished praying, or you have to get another cab. And that's real. I'm not making this up. I couldn't make this up. I've been to stores in Brooklyn and other boroughs in New York City where I go in at a certain time, not realizing that the proprietor is Islamic. So I go in to buy whatever I wanted to buy, and they tell me, well, you're not really buying now. We're not selling. And I would say, well, why is that? And the response would be, because we're going to be in prayer. Can you imagine, saints of the living God, if you and I, as people of God, how about, what would it be like? Can you imagine if we would stop and pray and say, you know what? Whatever business we're involved in, we're going to put that to the side for right now because we're going to pray to a holy God. Can you imagine what would take place? I believe that the heavens would open to God and his people, and God would show himself in a way that we have not seen in our lifetime. God tells us through when we read Joshua, and I love this so much, be strong. I didn't forget what I'm teaching on tonight. We're talking about the sons of Issachar and discerning the times. I want to say to you prophetically tonight that if you're going to rightly discern the times that we're living in, you're going to have to be very strong and very courageous. because you're going to lead these people to inherit the land. This is what it says in Joshua. He told Joshua, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful. While you're being strong and courageous, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and be merciful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Know what you believe. So please understand me, listeners. I'm not saying to go back and follow the Levitical laws. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not preaching that. But I am saying that God does tell us how we should live. And he does have a way that he's designed men and women to function. And he has not changed his ways. He said, I am God. I have not changed. What I have established, that is the way it is to be, because I am your maker. He said, is there any other God? I know not of one. So you and I have to know who we believe in and be very convinced and strong in our knowledge of God. The Word of God tells us, and I believe this was Paul speaking to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he tells Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one who is approved. In this last day, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and one who correctly handles the word of truth. That's found in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. You're going to hear a lot of things in these days that you're living in, these days that I'm living in. You're going to hear people say, oh, come over to this part of the country because that's where God is. The Bible tells us in Matthew, don't believe that. Don't go there. Another thing that we learn in the Tabernacle of Moses, the Tabernacle of Moses was portable. So what do we learn from that today in 2015? That means that God is with you. You don't have to go over there to get in God's presence. God is with you. If you're going to wait before God, if you're going to cry out to God, if you're willing to make yourself as a living sacrifice to God, if you're willing to obey God, you don't have to go to California to find God. If you're living in Michigan, God will visit you in Michigan. If you're living in Afghanistan, God will visit you in Afghanistan. If you're living in a communist nation, you don't have to come to America to find God. You can be wherever you are. He's an omniscient God, an omnipresent God. His presence is there with you if you will cry out to him. He's not limited by a place. And so you don't have to wonder, do I need to go over there to find God? God is so great. He is so mighty. So we need to understand and rightly discern the word of God, rightly understand what God is saying in this season. Our Supreme Court in America is just about to vote on one of the most important things in our nation. They're going to vote on marriage. And what is marriage between? Is it between a man and a woman? Is marriage between a man and a woman and a woman, or a man and several women, or a man and men and women together? What is marriage? And I just want to say to you, and this is not political because I'm not into politics, and I know that this is not what Evangelist Montel is about. This is not a political show. But since we're talking about the Bible, since we're talking about discerning the times, since we're understanding the times that we're living in and we need to understand how to respond in those times, we need to understand that the creator and the designer of marriage is not the Supreme Court. God bless them. It's not the president of our nation. God bless him. It's not your governor. God bless them. It's not your assemblyman and your councilman. God bless them. It's not even you, and it's not even me. The one who designed marriage is God. You and I wouldn't even know what marriage is had it not been for God. And so we have to look and see what God has to say about marriage. And my prayer is that those Supreme Court judges will not be swayed by lobbyists. They will not be swayed by some activists, but that they will go and take the time to go into the Word of God and see what does God say. What does God talk about marriage? What does he have to say? He clearly says, and it's no secret, that marriage has been designed by him, created by him, instituted by him, between one man and one woman. Discern the times that we're living in. And then again, so we looked at a couple of things. Number one, we need to return to God and desire to love God with that first bridal love that he gave us. Number two, we need to pray, and pray some more. Pray without ceasing. We need to be strong and very courageous. That's number three. We need, number four, to know what we believe and who we believe in. And I would even add, we need to know whose we are. Always remember that you belong to God. You don't belong to yourself. I don't know about you, but for me, I feel that is so assuring to me that I don't belong to myself, that I belong to God, that at the end of the day, I don't even know my own heart the way that we think we do. You don't really know yours, but that God really knows my heart. God knows your heart. And then number five, I would encourage you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible talks about it like this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. One of the things about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is that we're not afraid to speak the truth in love. I can tell you, as somebody who's been a missionary, I've lived abroad for more than 16 years at a time. And I traveled back and forth in the last years. But I can tell you this. We don't need to be afraid of who we believe in. We don't need to be afraid of what we believe in. When I came back and I moved back, at the beginning, I would say I moved back here officially in 2001, but I really brought my daughter back here in mid-2000. When I came back, one of the first things that I noticed was that there was a invasive spirit of intimidation in my country. And what do I mean by that? I found that a lot, even our major televangelists, our major priests in our country were not really talking about some of the most serious topics that are facing men and women in our nation. And it kind of like surprised me, but the more I prayed about it and just listened to what people were saying, I was listening to conversations in my community, listening to conversations in the churches that I would go to, I would listen to conversations on the television, on the radio, different talk show hosts, and I'm saying, oh my goodness, a lot of these people, they're avoiding the topics. And when I prayed about it and sought the Lord about it, he exposed a really strong spirit of intimidation. And so in discerning the times that we're living in, one of the things that you and I come against is a spirit of intimidation. Whereas now we have people that reject God, they're having the major say in our nation. They're the loudest voices. They're certainly the major players on the media. And the church, for the most part, is sitting back. If we're going to rightly discern the times, we have to own up to it, take our responsibility, and ask God on our knees to help us to shift. There has to be a shift where we're no longer just sitting back with our mouths shut, but that we, in love, total love and humility, the humility of Jesus Christ, say, no, that is not what God wants. This is what God wants. One of the latest things that's come to the forefront, and we need to be discerning, we need to understand, is that now even the little children in elementary school, there is a push to do away with the term boys and girls. Because if you do away with the term boys and girls, you're going to put these little children in a place of confusion. And one thing that I read in the Word of God, that God is not the author of confusion. So wherever you see confusion, mass hysteria, and confusion, you already know by the Word of God, the Spirit of God is not in it. Where there's confusion, God is not moving in that. And so when you have a move and an emphasis to try to get young children, the ages of 5, 6, 7, and 8, to not understand who they are and who God made them, don't use the term boys and girls, you know, confuse the genders, it is for confusion. Discern the times, men and women of God. Discern the times and stand up. I'm remembering the Word of God when Moses came back from spending a time with the Lord face to face, and he saw that they were sinning before a holy God. The people all in Israel, they were sinning, and they were offering idols up before a big idol. And he asked this very important question. Who is on the Lord's side? And he said, if you're on the Lord's side, I want you to stand over here next to me. And if you're not on the Lord's side, then you stand away from me. In the spirit, I'm hearing and I'm discerning in these times that that is the word of the Lord to the church today. Who is on the Lord's side? If I'm on the Lord's side, I'm going to have to stand with what God says. I'm going to have to believe what God says is true. And I'm going to tell you something. We are going to go through persecution. And so we're going to have to be willing to give it all for Jesus. But I don't want to jump the gun. I'm almost finished. I was telling you just before that we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that His Holy Spirit that indwells us will help us to be bold to speak the truth in love. We're not going to be intimidated when we have the Holy Spirit indwelling. We're going to be bold to speak to somebody. Hey, God loves you. God has a better plan for your life. And God is real, no matter what you're hearing, no matter what you're seeing, no matter what you're being told by the masses. God is real. Let me share the love of God with you. So that's the other point I wanted to bring forth to you. And then we have to remember that we have been told by Jesus, commissioned and commanded to go and make disciples. Discern the times. One of the things in this present season is that you hear a lot about people accepting Jesus as their Savior, but you don't hear a lot about going and making disciples. Let me just quickly tell you the difference. As somebody who believes strongly in making disciples, it's one thing to accept A-C-C-E-P-T, Jesus, as your Savior. I'm going to give you a quick story about that. I went in Hong Kong, my first year there, I was invited to go to somebody's home for Chinese New Year. And in that home, the woman had she had an altar, and she had a lot of different things on that altar. She actually had a picture of Jesus. It's a very familiar picture that a lot of us have seen over the years across this entire nation, that picture with Jesus' face, or what that artist has painted as Jesus. So she had a picture of Jesus on her altar. But on the same altar, she had a statue of Buddha. She had another picture about a sea goddess that's famous in Chinese culture. And then she had another, something else that belonged to another culture in Asia. She had about 4 or 5 of them. And I asked her son, who invited me to the home, I said, why does this woman have so many different quote-unquote gods on her altar? And his response to me was very clear, and I understood it. He said, well, Pearl, she wants to make sure that she's touching all the bases. She wants to make sure that she gets the right God. And I hate to say it, but even in our American culture, It's a little bit like that. Because people accept Jesus, and then we see absolutely no change in their lifestyle. And so you wonder, where's the transformation? But there's no transformation because they didn't go to part two, step two. The Word of God tells us that we should go and make disciples. Not just go and tell somebody about accepting Jesus as their personal Savior, but to let them understand that they have to follow Jesus, and that means total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that means if I am being used of the Lord to share the gospel with somebody, to lead them to the Lord, I have to do part two. I can't just leave them there. But I have to be willing to invest time with them that this person is actually discipled. We don't have time on this broadcast to talk about that, but maybe in the Q&A we can talk a little bit about it. But I would actually like to, if I'm ever given the opportunity, to talk about what is it like to make disciples? Because that's a whole different category. It's one thing to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but there's another thing to actually become a disciple of Jesus Christ and to have your life and my life exemplify or begin to look Christ-like. And lastly, be willing to give our all for Christ Jesus and his kingdom. The Bible says it like this: whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And we find that in Matthew 10. We're going to be willing, we've got to be willing to go through persecution. Be encouraged when we are persecuted, because you and I will be persecuted. If we're going to be true disciples of Jesus Christ, that's a part and parcel of what it means to follow Jesus. But we have great encouragement for you today. The Bible tells us that in all these things, in all these places where we're being persecuted, maybe on our job, maybe in our very home, maybe by an unbelieving loved one, not that they're willfully trying to persecute us, but they are, because we're in light and they're in darkness. So, you know, it's always a joke, or it's, you know, holy roller, or who do you think you are? You think you love God more than me? You know, no matter what it is, we're going to go through persecution. We're going to be challenged. We're not going to be liked because we're followers of Jesus Christ. So we have to understand that. Not everybody's going to like us and be in our corner when we say that we identify with Christ. There are people that I have met. I have met people that I've actually been in their homes, had meals with them, and they live for years in prison because for no other reason but that they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other reason. They didn't hurt anybody. They didn't say anything bad about anybody. They didn't steal anything from anybody. They didn't say anything against the government. But their only crime was they were unrelenting in their allegiance to Jesus Christ. They were not willing to deny Christ when they were put to the test. You, my friend, that are listening to this broadcast, and myself that's sharing on this broadcast, I have to be willing to identify with Jesus in my home, on my job, in my community, in my school, in the marketplace, in the office, in my city, in my state. I'm not saying that I always have to walk around with the big Jesus sign, but I have to be willing to live Christ-like. I have to be willing to go against how the majority of the world is going. If they're going contrary to God, I have to be willing to go God's way, even if that's going to bring persecution. I have to. Why? Because Jesus said, if I deny him, he's not going to receive me. I mean, that's reality. He said, if I'm not willing to identify with him, when it comes time for him to introduce me to his Heavenly Father, he's going to say, I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are because you didn't identify with me. You didn't surrender to me. You didn't give me your life. So, you know, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. So, God forbid, we know that nobody listening to this broadcast is going to ever experience that. Because by the grace of God, we're going to stand for God because we know that it's not in our own strength that we stand, but it's the Spirit of God inside of us that gives us the power to say no to the devil and to say yes to Jesus Christ. And I want to close with this. In case you're listening to this broadcast and you're saying, well, whoa, I don't even know what you're talking about because I've never given my life to Jesus. So you were basically talking to people that are already following Christ, and you're right. I was talking to the believers. But now I'm talking to you. Just in case you're listening to this broadcast and you understood a lot of what I said, but you know in your heart, your hearts, I'll never be able to discern fully because I'm not even born again. I'm not even following Jesus Christ. I'm not even surrendering my life to Jesus. But I'd like to because I realize I need God. I need God in my life. And if that's you, my friend, it would give me no greater pleasure than introduce you to Jesus. Number one, he's God. And he loves you like nobody else has the capacity to love you. And he knows you like you don't even know yourself. And he gave his blood that was innocent, that he never sinned, not once. He gave his sinless blood in exchange for your guilty blood. Because the Bible says that when you and I sin, which basically means that we do those things that offend a holy God and that are contrary to God and his ways, when we do those things, we're already against God. We're already doing our own thing. We're not going God's way. So, you know, we're all born in sin. And we're all shaped in iniquity. Even that cutest little kid, when they can talk, what's the first thing a little baby does? The first thing that they get out of their mouth after they can say mom and dad. When they say mommy and they say daddy, the next thing they say is no. And why? Because they have that Adamic nature. They have that sin nature. You and I have that nature in us, a nature that's rebellious against God. And so you can't tell me that you're not a sinner. We were all born in sin. We're all born in sin. We're all shaped in iniquity. That's just, you know, we come from Adam and Eve. All of us have that same heritage. And so all of us have to go the same way. And the only way that God made a provision for us is the way of Jesus. There's no other way. I can't do it by doing good things. I can't get to God by being nice. I can't get to God by being friendly or giving a big donation. That's nice, and nobody's knocking that. But I can't come to God that way. I can only come to God in the way that he provided, and that's only one way. And that way is through Jesus Christ and what he's done for me on Calvary. He took my place. I should have been the one on the cross. You should have been the one on the cross. And Jesus said, no, let me go in their place. Father, let me die on that cross and take their sin and pay that price, the penalty. And so if you're listening to this broadcast and you've never given your life to Jesus, it'll be such a privilege if you would allow me to pray with you. I cannot pray you in God's kingdom. I cannot save you. Nobody else but Jesus can save you. But I can help you. Since I have been walking with the Lord for some time now, I can help you as a big sister to show you and point you the way. And so if you want to pray that prayer, would you just repeat after me? And if what I'm saying is what you want to say from your own heart, then just repeat after me from your heart. And I believe that today you can be a child of the living God and God will forgive you of all your sins and welcome you into his family. You will be, if you're a man, you'll be his son. If you're a woman, you'll be his daughter. Repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have made a way for me through Jesus Christ, your Son. And I recognize that I am a sinner. I know, I'm being honest. I've not always lived my life pleasing to you. Most of the time, I wasn't even thinking about you and what you want or how you're feeling about what I'm doing. But I hear you now, Father. And I realize that I'm wrong. And I've been going my own way. And I've been doing my own thing. And I'm sorry. And I repent. I turn from doing my own way, doing my own thing, and pleasing myself. I want you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with your pure blood. Clean me. Make me a brand new person through Jesus Christ. I welcome you to come into my heart and to lead me and to guide me. I ask your Holy Spirit to come, live inside of me. Let me follow you from this moment on until you come and call and take me home. I belong to you, and you belong to me. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, I believe your words. I believe that I now have been forgiven and that you're my God. And that I'm your child, in Jesus' name, amen. And Father, I pray for every individual that prayed that prayer over this broadcast, that you would just, God, do a transformative work in their life, bring godly men and women around them to speak into their lives, to disciple them, lead them to a good Bible-believing fellowship that really loves you, that honors your word, and that will help to disciple them and to train them so that they can be great followers of you, and that you will use them for the glory of your kingdom, for the glory of your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you, Evangelist Montel. I want to thank you to the listeners. I want to ask your forgiveness because I really thought by the message I had seen on my other phone that I was disconnected, and I asked for my daughter to quickly come and help me, and thank God she did, but then I learned that I was still online. So I hope that didn't throw you off. I hope you got the word. We need to be, as the sons of Issachar, we need to discern the times. We need to focus and have our eyesight really honed in, have our spiritual hearing really honed in. What is God saying in this season? How should we respond? How should we be? What should we do? What should we be saying? And what should we believing God for in these last times? And I just want to encourage you, let's be faithful to God until the very end, until Jesus come back. In Jesus' name, amen. So, sister, my precious Evangelist Montel, take it away. It's all yours. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
I am so blessed to have been listening to you tonight. You're speaking such truth. And we've had callers on hold that's been wanting to share. So I'm going to open up the line. There's a question mark and let some of the callers in. I'm just so moved by the word you've been sharing tonight. God's been talking to my heart about complete surrender. And I shared a word on that Sunday. And it's like confirmation. God's really trying. People aren't paying attention, so he's crying out, and people just turn away, and they don't listen. They're not obedient.
So true. Well, I'm thrilled to hear any of the questions, and if God gives me an answer, I'll be happy to share it.
Can you, your lines are open. Can you hear me?
This is Minister Morgan. Are you on?
Yes,
we hear you loud
you're
and
on.
Clear. Am I on?
Yes, you're on.
This is for Minister Pearl. I've been listening to your broadcast, and I've really enjoyed it. And I have a question.
Sure.
You're teaching on the Tabernacle of Moses. How do I get involved in that? Is that your class, or is that something through the Christian store? Or I am very interested in learning on the Tabernacle of Moses teaching.
God bless you, my sister. I'm happy that, and I'm encouraged that this has been a blessing. You know, I will be happy if Evangelist Montel takes your contact information. I can share with you some of the notes. Unfortunately, I've been teaching it in a Sunday school class, and it has not been recorded. But I can definitely put you over to some other people that have some teachings on it. My particular teaching hasn't been recorded, but I have been encouraged by others that I need to start having them recorded. So I'll be willing to give you my notes on it, and I'll certainly direct you to some other great teaching on the Tabernacle of Moses. It's very exciting.
Well, thank you, and I'm looking forward to that. And God bless you, and have a wonderful evening.
You too, Minister. God bless you. Thank you for your call.
Thank you for your word tonight. It was very uplifting and encouraging. I enjoyed
Amen.
It very much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Hello, Sister Mary. Can you hear me?
Yes, and I want to say when she was talking about animals going in from, different places into the city or places they don't supposed to be, we have a bear that came from Michigan. In South Bend and somewhere, in Indiana. So, yeah, those animals, the bear is where he really don't supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in a state where we don't have bears. So
there you go. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's
right.
With
the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
So I just wanted to say that. So, and that only happened about a month ago.
Yeah. Wow.
And he's still somewhere roaming here, yeah.
Wow. Signs of the times, my sister.
Praise the Lord. And tonight I really enjoyed your message. It was really good and very anointed.
Praise God. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Minister Dean, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is there anything you want to share or ask?
Well, I'd like to definitely agree with what you were saying earlier about, that we have to be careful what we expose ourselves to, our external sources of entertainment, as they may call it. Like the other night, I was watching American Sniper, and there was a lot of foul language and a lot of use of the Lord's name in vain. Even though I really wanted to see this movie, I had military background and I was looking forward to seeing it. I was at odds too with the language that was on it, and we got to be careful. Everything that we expose ourselves to, we absorb those external forces in our lives, and we can reflect that out in our actions if we're not really, really careful and we don't use the spirit of discernment in our everyday walk. And I just want to thank her for putting great emphasis on that. Plus, how nowadays they're trying to change even biblical reasons for the explanation of marriage. Back in the days of the Bible and all the way through up until the time I've been married, marriage was between a man and a woman, and that was it. And it was for the purpose of procreation.
Right.
Be fruitful and multiply, and all
right.
that. I don't see where two people of the same sex can actually produce children or offspring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I really disagree fully with same-sex couples raising children.
Exactly. Oh, I'm with you 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sign of the times. It's a decaying moral fiber of society, and it's horrible. And I really disagree with just like nowadays, they're talking about they're going to force children to take this specific type of sex education. Even at grammar school, children should not even be aware of sexuality in the grammar school.
Exactly.
Let alone even junior high school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I'm all in favor of homeschooling if that's what they're going to be doing as far as what they're teaching our children. I have a grandson that towards the end of September is going to be 2 years old, and I certainly do not want him learning that kind of stuff.
That's right. God forbid. Mm. That's right.
And this country was founded on Christian standards. The Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, all that stuff was based on Christian foundation. And now we've fallen so far away from all those Christian standards. The only thing that we even actually pay attention to, ever since about 1960 when they rewrote all the textbooks and wrote the God part out of it,
mm-hmm.
is the taxation without representation. You know, that the government's got to run, they got to have their own money. But they don't really care about bringing godly principles into our homes, into our schools, or into our lives.
Mm-hmm. My Lord. I mean, it's so far, my brother, that it's so far gone that now we don't even look, well, not, I mean, you and I do, and certainly Evangelist Montel, but in the schools, in all the public schools now, and because of this Common Core, they don't even use B.C. to mean before Christ. Now it's B.C.E., before the Common Era. So they took out before Christ. And they don't want any mention whatsoever of Christ. The good news, though, is that we cannot take Christ out. God will not be taken out because he's God. And he will remain God, whether we X him out or not. He's going to remain God. The bad thing for the people that try to X him out is that judgment will come. So what I sense in my spirit, in discerning the times, is that the believing Church of God, we've got to make a stand. And just like you're saying on this broadcast, let's just stay to what we know is the truth. God and his word does not change. And so we must not sway or change with the climate, but we must stay just like our God, unmovable, unshakable, and with our faith firmly planted in God and his word.
We shall never waver.
Amen. Amen. By his grace.
There are so many ministers out there, so many churches that don't want to preach about abortion or about gay marriages about sin, and most of them have taken even the cross out of the church.
Exactly.
Ministers only want to preach what's going to fill their congregation and fill their tithe baskets. They're watered down Christians, and instead of preaching the word of God as it is written, they just declare what people want to hear to keep their buildings open. And that is such a sad situation in these last days, because when they stand before God, there's going to be hundreds of thousands of souls they're accountable for because they did not teach the word according to how it was written.
That's right, absolutely. You know, everybody's more concerned about being politically correct rather than correct with God. You know, I stand in my correctness with my Lord. I am not worried about whether I'm hurting somebody's feelings. You know, I tell you, if somebody says, well, the name Jesus Christ offends me, well, you know what, I'll say it 20 times right in their face. I'll say it as many times as it takes until they bow down before God or they flee from my sight.
I think the challenge to us as the church, the true remnant, and the beautiful thing is that God will always have a remnant. God will always have a remnant. Is that how do we respond in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation? And I think that's the challenge to the church. How do we respond? Because as I was sharing in the teaching, that, you know, there's going to be a portion of these people that will look to us because they'll just have been totally devastated, and they're going to look to the church. They're going to look to the remnant. And so we're going to have a word in season for them, and we're going to have to prepare to know how to help them and how to bring in that harvest, because they probably won't be going to a lot of these churches that you just mentioned just now, because they won't have a word for them. But they will be coming to the individual people that they believe are godly to point the way.
Amen. That's right. We know when all hell breaks loose, you know, those people that are only lukewarm Christians and stuff, they're going to be running around like chickens with their heads cut off, and they're going to look to us and look like we know exactly what we're doing and where we're headed. Because, you know what, those that are truly faithful to God, they will have assurance, they will have the surety in their spirits that they are going in the right track, and their feet will move left, right, right, straightforward. They were not. They will never waver from the path. You know, I will fight the good fight all the way to the end. First Timothy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, brother, I put this to you. So what would you suggest as some of the things that we can start doing as believers to prepare ourselves in this day that we're living in?
Well, I believe we should marinate in the Word. I mean, we should spend a good certain amount of our time in the Word. We should spend some time on our knees. We should spend our time speaking to our God, and we should take
and
listen for His voice.
Amen. I totally agree. Amen. So, in other words, we need to go back to the basics. Maybe less conferences and more on our knees, and more in the Word.
That's right.
Amen. I agree. Praise God.
God gave mankind dominion over all of creation, and look at what He's done to it. And look at all the earthquakes and all the tidal waves and all the tsunamis stuff because we are destroying this planet. Look at our atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Look at our animals. Mm-hmm. We're getting mutated species coming right and left. God,
that's right.
An abomination of the Lord.
That's right.
It's man's greed that has gotten us where we're at right now.
So true.
People need to spend more time sending emails and less time sending emails.
Can you say that one again? That's real good.
People need to spend more time sending emails than emails.
Can you spell that, sister, for, in case anybody missed it?
Emails, on your knees to God, K-N-E-E-S, emails.
I love it. I love
instead
it.
Instead of emails.
That
people
speaks to me.
People up into the computer and on the internet for the wrong reason, sending emails. But my word for the day is we should be on our knees sending God more emails.
I love it. Oh, my goodness. That can preach. That can preach. Praise God.
But God never has to worry about not finding a data connection. His lines are always open 24/7.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are there any more questions or any more callers, Evangelist Montel?
I have a question.
Sure.
When will you be available to come back and share with us again?
You're so kind. Oh, praise God. Oh, you know what? I will make myself available. I have thoroughly enjoyed myself. And these precious, I just made a new brother in Christ, and these sisters in Christ that have called, I mean, I just love you all. It's just tremendous. I'm encouraged that I'm not alone because, you know, there's so many quote-unquote Christians. If I talk to them, they think I came from Nanu Nanu land. I mean, you know, they look at me like if I have, you know, some weird thing growing out of my head. They just don't get it. So it's been so wonderful to be able to talk to people and to have responses that, you know, like mind, like spirit, that we love Jesus. So I'm available. You tell me when you need, and I'm going to try to make myself as available as possible.
Praise
God.
If
God permits, I would love to hear you again.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God.
Back on here. That, yes. And you've been speaking. I've been letting everybody share tonight. But you've been speaking such truth. And, you know, I've shared on broadcast with Minister Darlene and Evangelist Mary and Minister Dean. We've all been talking. We all support each other when broadcasts are on. Each of us have a different night.
God.
But there's strength in numbers. And I thank God for them because Minister Darlene is my cousin, but she's my sister in Christ, but I love her like a sister in my blood. And and Flip the Screen has recently became a part of my life, and she's a prayer warrior. But I love this because what you will get persecuted. I've been called a Bible thumper, a holy roller, whatever it is, whatever it is. But you know what? That shows me I'm doing something right because it's people not understanding it. It's showing me that they can't me. And if they're, you know what, as I shared the other night, when Jesus Christ was here, he was blameless and perfect, and look how much he was persecuted.
Wow.
And what he heard,
people fear that
so much
different
more.
From them.
Yes, and, you know, people are going to condemn us, but it's such a blessing. There's a song I sing, one of my cover songs, and I love it. It's upbeat, it's fun. Is there a Christian in the house? Because when I'm going through, I want to go to a real Holy Ghost-filled,
amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
know the word person to say, you know, to know that I can have prayer. I know any of my brothers and sisters on here tonight, I can call them no matter what time it is. They're there to pray for me. And I know they're faithful. I know they're true. And so many other people, you know, even in the churches, they're looking at the clock. They want to cease the moving of the Spirit. They're more focused on the world and man. And as you're, what you've been saying is so true. People need to be focused on God, letting the Spirit lead us, putting Him first, back in our homes, back in our schools. They wonder what is going on in our nation. We tried to take God out of it. We need to make it back one nation under God. And that's where we need to get back. It's going to take people like us standing up, being voices that aren't scared to go forth and to share the gospel. And that's been such a blessing tonight. Because those are all things. I like political discussions as well, sister, because you know what? There's a lot of things going in the world. We need to be aware of it, pray about those situations. We know God's in control, but there's ways He can use us to make a difference in what's going on in this world.
Well, to tell you, I kind of went easy because I wasn't sure and I didn't want to, you know, rock the boat. But anytime you want to talk, we need to talk, I believe, as men and women of God. What does God say about a lot of these issues? And that's one of the things that you don't hear. I don't know the states where the rest of you live, but I can tell you, unfortunately, I don't say this with pride. I say this with shame. The majority of, it's a great city. I mean, I'm not knocking it. Thank God for New York City. But unfortunately, the majority of the Christian leaders here, they're not talking about the real issues. They're not talking about abortion. They're not talking about same-sex marriage. And the people in the churches,
they do not preach on damnation, do they?
No. But let me tell you, the people in the church, of course, they want to know. Well, what does the Bible say? And how are they going to know unless the man in the pulpit is telling them? Unless he's saying, thus saith the Lord. Here goes the word of the Lord. This is how come we believe like this is what God says. This is what everybody should be hearing in the church. The church should be the place. The church should be the place that directs the culture. Unfortunately, today, the culture is directing the church. And,
These churches should be worried
God
about
that
people
changes.
Knowing the word and not worried about their tithes, because if they preach the true word of God, God's going to supply it of their every need. They shouldn't worry about their needs being met before they're worried about what they are preaching to their congregation, because they preach the truth, God will be there and supply their needs to keep those doors open.
Amen. Faithful God.
100%. 100%. We are the church. We are the living church. That's right. Well, you know what? I will be looking forward to any time that we can. There's so many things I would love to share. For instance, the life of the believer in a communist nation is quite different from the life of a believer here. I've had phone calls since I've been here in the States. From other people that live in other states and even Canada, call me and tell me, Sister Pearl, how are you doing? And I'll tell them how I'm doing. And I'll say, well, how are you doing? And they'll tell me, quite frankly, I feel so dry spiritually since I have come and moved to America. These are people that were living in a communist nation, and then they got, you know, to immigrate here, and they're saying, you know, I expected the church in America to be like A, B, and C, because I'll tell you, even though we have persecution out in these other nations, okay, I spent a lot of time in one of the largest, well, the largest communist nation in the world, so you can just imagine what that is, the largest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but at least we knew we were living in a communist nation, but it was exciting to follow Jesus. I mean, the worship is exciting, you know, the anticipation of the studying of the word and hearing the word. And then they come here and they're thinking, oh, it's free. So now they're going to be so much, it's going to be so much better now that we're here and we don't have to hide. And then they go to some dry church and they're devastated. And then they call me and tell me, I feel so dry spiritually here in America. And I fully understand them because I knew what it was like there. And then me coming back here, and it's like, oh, my Lord, it's like two different worlds. So, you know, may God help us. You know, not that I want persecution,
But I think we're going to look at things a lot more differently, and we're going to be a lot more receptive to the Word of God when it's not that easy.
That's
I hate
right.
to
They're
say it, but that's how we are as human
water.
Beings. Yeah, that's how we are as human beings. Sometimes we just take some good things for granted, and then when we lose that, then all of a sudden we appreciate what doesn't come so easy anymore.
Praise God. Well, we will definitely be having you back, dear sister. We can even plan all of us together as ministers so you can pick a topic, we can study, we can have a conversation, share it, and I love this. I love being able to share with other brothers and sisters in Christ. There is strength in numbers. And I love to share the Word of God. I get overwhelmed. I am so blessed in what I do because every day I thank God and I humble myself before Him because it's such an honor to be a servant. And I have such a heart desire for a soul. And God has been blessing. I hadn't talked to the other people today. But I talked to the representatives from Blog Talk today. And the numbers on this station, God is the place. He's like, that is so good. You know, sometimes we don't realize what God is. You know He works in our life. But sometimes He makes you more aware of things. And the numbers, one of my brothers in Christ that has done radio for over 3 years on the same spot, my numbers are twice his in less than a month's time.
Wow,
that's the glory of
God.
Like
to God be the glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
When
Jesus.
You make it about God and His glory and not about self, God shows up and He moves. He has been opening so many doors. I am so humbled. I was just asked to do another event yesterday to see. I've been praying to God. I want to go forth and minister through song as well. Sister Mary has a beautiful voice. I was asked yesterday to be one of the guest artists for a Christian radio station that is opening up in Decatur, Illinois. And I get to bring some other ministers in and God just keeps opening doors. I was just at the Christian Music Awards and got to present an award this past couple of weeks ago and met some amazing artists. And when you really ask God to use you and He knows your heart is sincere, He will. And He will
Hallelujah.
Equip you with me.
You
never say, I can't do that. When God calls you to it, He'll get you to it because He is the way maker. And when you walk by faith, not sight, God can use you in ways you've never imagined. And I just want to glorify Him in that tonight. And
then
He's
worthy.
Yes, He is.
You, you
and all the beautiful
no such
people.
Word.
Yes.
That's what it should be when you're a Christian. We shouldn't say can't because He says all things are possible.
Amen.
And it's such a blessing
Amen.
To hear, you know, where all the places you've been, Sister Pearl, and your heart. And I want to encourage other ministers, listen, on our homepage, some people don't realize. But on the homepage of Reaching Out Radio, when you go on the Blog Talk Radio and you put in the Reaching Out Radio, I've changed our cover photo and brought in all the different ministries on it today with joint hands. And also on the player, on one of the main ones, I've got Faith the Fire and I've got all of our ministry names. But also you can see all the on-demand links and you can also follow and you can go read the details. Like I can see it all because I do the studio. But all of Pearl's bio is on the detail information. It shows all the upcoming broadcasts. It shows yours as well. So please follow. And also you can get familiar with what the topics are going to be. And also bios of our special guests like our dear sister on tonight. So they're still learning as well. But God is good. It's so amazing that He gave technology to go forth into the nations. And I thank you so much. The
thank you for having me, Evangelist. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. I love you, all my other brothers and sisters. I look forward tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Brian and Leah Sass of Hazock Ministries is going to be on. They're the ones whose young daughter was murdered, and God from misery to ministry. They wrote a book. They are an amazing man and woman of God. They have joined us. They're going to be on every Tuesday morning, so if you're able to tune in, it will bless you there. I want to encourage people to call in because they want to share with their life is just a blessing to me as well. They have a powerful ministry.
God bless them.
But I love you all.
We've got to stand on the rock or we're going to slip in the sand.
That's right. I love you all in Christ, and I thank you all, and I encourage all the listeners, as she's been sharing tonight, and I do every broadcast, you are of worth. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that you're too far gone, done too much wrong, because as long as you have a breath in you to repent, you can use that to be saved and to glorify our Father. Don't wait till it's too late and you're in the ground. Seek Him while you can still be found. But you are loved, and God made a way for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight people received it. We'd love to hear your testimonies, and I'm just excited on what God's doing. I love you all. Have a very blessed night. I hope you can tune in tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. to hear Brian and Leah Faust. It will truly bless you. Wednesday night, Minister Darlene Morgan's going to be on. And Thursday night, I got to get a hold of Apostle Dallas Miller. And then on Friday night, Minister Dean Maynard will be on. And then Saturday will be Evangelist Mary. So God just bless you, and I thank you so much. But have a very blessed night. I look forward to us all sharing again. You all have my number. You're feel free to contact me anytime. I love you all.
God bless you.
Thank you.
God
bless all of you. Bye-bye.
But we love you. I love you all.
God bless you.
Bye.
God bless you all. Love you all.
Love you all. Bye. Great message.